Bible, turn to the book of Acts, please. And I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to open God's Word anytime I can. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's done already this morning. Brother Josh, a dear friend of mine, I appreciate him preaching. And I appreciate our dear brother preaching on little things. Boy, it's wonderful. God will take what nobody else can take and do what nobody else can do with it. Amen. Acts chapter number 10. And verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Can I say that just being a good man won't get you to heaven? Giving money will not get you to heaven. The Bible says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them, and waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up in the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Father, help us, Lord, to say what you want said this morning for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning on a new door of great opportunity. A new door of great opportunity. God is about to give the gospel to the Gentiles. These Jews have been saved, some of them. They've heard the gospel, and it's now time for the Gentile world to hear that Jesus is their Savior as well as the Jews. This is something that God's doing in His progression, in His work, and in His will. And God wanted to open the door to the Gentiles to be saved by the grace of God. May I call time out and repeat with our brother Josh, thank God that God loves the Gentiles. Thank God that God loves the nobodies. Thank God that God loves those that are on their way to a devil's hell. I'm real thankful that God had us on His mind when He sent Simon Peter to witness to this man called Cornelius. By the way, don't you find it strange that when the angel showed up to Cornelius, the angel did not give him the gospel? That's not God's way. God could have sent that, but God uses people to reach other people. That's God's way. So God is about to do something new in Simon Peter's life. Simon Peter had already been very successful. This man walked on the water, and there are many that didn't, but he did. He sank, but he got out there and walked on the water. I'd call that success. Simon Peter had stood and preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and he saw 3,000 people walk the aisle, get saved by the grace of God, and go into believer's baptism. I would say that's pretty impressive on Simon Peter's part. He was in Joppa because he had just raised a woman from the dead. I don't know what else you could put on a resume. Brother Bud, sounded like this man had done it all. Been there, seen it, done it, and had the hand of God blessing him. It's pretty good ministry, if you ask me. And just like us, It was easy for Simon Peter to rest and say, I've done enough. I've served the Lord. I've seen the Lord do great things, and I'm in my groove right now, and I'm just doing what God's called me to do, and I'm enjoying what God's called me to do, and it's real easy to get complacent. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. It's real easy to get complacent with the things God's done in your life and forget that God wants to do more with you. God wants to take you further, and God wants to do things with you you've never imagined. God ain't done with you. God's not finished moving in your life and working. Excuse me, in your life, God wants more. God wants more. And He wants more from you. And He wants more from me. You say, how do you know He wants more from you? Because I'm still breathing. As long as you're still breathing, we ought to be growing. And we ought to be doing more for God. Now, I understand we're not to go grab everything and just take off and go doing stuff. I understand we're to do the will of God. But I've got news for you. I'm absolutely sure that God's got more for you today than you'd ever imagine. Before I finish, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell it to you, then we're going to eat somewhere. There's something right now that God has been telling you to do more about. Between God showing up in this vision on the rooftop in Joppa, and then verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. In between the time that Cornelius and these Gentiles got saved, and God showed up over here on the rooftop to Joppa to deal with Simon Peter about going. In between those two things, God had to do some work on Simon Peter to get him where He wanted him to go to do more for the glory of God. Every Christian here can do more for God by learning three lessons God taught Simon Peter. There's three lessons. Can I go ahead and tell y'all, this is all for me. God's just letting y'all hear it. There's three lessons that God taught Simon Peter that God is teaching me, that God wants to teach you so that we can do more for God. You want to hear them real quick? Amen. I'm glad I'm here to tell it. Number one, in order for Simon Peter to do more than he'd ever done, number one, we must be willing to do what we have never done. Look at verse 14 in your Bible. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never. I've never done that. He said, rise and eat. I've never eaten nothing unclean. I have never done that. Not so, Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're ever going to go further than you are now, and you're ever going to find the doors that God's opened in your life, there are going to have to be some times when you do things that you have never done. God has got some things waiting on you, and it's going to take you stepping out by faith and deciding, I'll be the one to go. I'll be the one to do. I'll be the one to hear. I'll be the one that'll do something nobody's ever done, and especially something that I've never done. He had to be willing to do what he had never done before. I heard one man put it this way. He said, if this year God wants you to take one step forward every year, and you're to take this step forward this year, and that step forward the next year, and that step forward the third year. He said, if you decide not to do something you've never done because you're scared, or you're not sure, or you're worried, or you don't want to look bad, or you don't want to be embarrassed. He said, if you don't take those steps, he said, in 5 years, you should be here, and you're right here, and you're right here thinking, I'm just holding the fort. I'm just maintaining. And here's what we'll say. I'm just being faithful. And we'll mistake faithfulness for backsliding. Oh, I'm just holding the fort. I'm staying faithful. Not if faithful is supposed to be up there and you're here. That's not faithfulness. That's backsliding. If I'm supposed to be yonder and I'm here, I don't care how faithful I look or I feel or I think I am, I'm not where God has designed for me to be. And in order for me to get from there to there, I'm going to have to do things I've never done before. How are we going to do it? Well, we got to be sensitive if we're going to do things we've never done before. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men speak thee. We'll have to be real sensitive to the Holy Ghost if we're going to do things we've never done before. We're going to have to be strong if we're going to do things we've never done before. Look at verse. I've never preached this before. I put this together this morning about 6. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, watch this, doubting nothing. Quit doubting that God wants to do something with you he ain't never done with nobody else. Quit imitating everything you see everybody else doing, thinking that's the will of God. You ain't got to buy a book, a tape, a CD, or a sermon outline book, or go to a meeting to find out what God wants you to do next. God will tell you what to do next, and quit doubting that God will speak to you. Well, I just don't hear from God like everybody else does. That's a lie, and the devil told it. If you're saved by the grace of God, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You didn't get a second-hand Holy Ghost or a third-hand Holy Ghost. God will speak to you. And if you're going to do something you've never done, you got to be strong and believe God wants to speak just to you. Quit doubting God talks to you. Lord, is that you? Yes! It's him. You mean you talk to me, God? Yes! He'll talk to you. You got to be sensitive. You got to be strong if you're going to do something you've never done before. You got to be schooled if you're going to do something you've never done before. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I'm he whom you seek. What's the cause wherefore you're come? And they said, Cornelius, centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and good report among all the nation of Jews, warned by God, by an holy angel, to send for thee in his house and hear words of thee. I said, you're going to have to be schooled. There'll be people that God puts in your life who may not even know the Lord that'll teach you things you need to know to go do something for God. You can learn something from anybody. I was at a, again, this is all for me. I took my daughter to a football game several years ago, and there was a guy out there street preaching. And it's strange, every time I come across a street preacher, I try to encourage him. And I've been cussed out by all three. I've encouraged street preachers in big cities 3 different times, and they've all chewed me out. I'm going to still encourage them. Me and Chad, we were at a race, and we said something to one, and he chewed us out for not helping him. I'm at a race. I'm not preaching right now. God called you to do it. Why are you mad at me for not doing it? Why don't you get in the plane with me and go to Albania for a week and a half? Why don't you go all over the world and start? Anyway, so he's over here preaching, handing out tracts, and I walk up to him, me and my daughter, I said, preach, preacher, preach. He had a megaphone, he was preaching, he was handing out tracts. I said, preach, preacher, while we walked by. And he said, are you saved? I said, yes, sir, I sure am. Are you sure? Like he was mad that I was going to heaven. I said, yes, sir. I said, God saved me on October 31st, 1996. Yesterday was 26 years I've been saved. 1996, October 31st, by the grace of God, God saved me. Well, are you doing anything for him? He's mad. You know, I told him, me and my little girl standing there, are you doing anything for him? I said, well, I got saved. I said, I quit my job making about $50,000, $60,000 a year and went to Bible college. I said, I was in Bible college 4 years. I said, I preached in the jail and nursing home every Sunday while I was in Bible college. I said, I started a church in 2001. I said, we started a day school in 2007, started a Bible college in 2007. I said, we started about 12 or 13 churches. I've got three or four in Washington State. I've got missionaries on foreign field that's been saved and sent out of my church. I said, you pray that I'll do something for God and get busy. And I walked away feeling pretty good about myself. I just now started figuring out, Brother Bud, I see the pieces together. God put my heart in Washington State years ago because God wanted to do what he's doing, and all that's coming together. And God put my heart in Albania years ago, and all that's coming together. And I'm seeing God bring all these things together. And I finally got in a place where all the questions in my life and in my ministry, they're starting to be answered, and I'm starting to see what God's doing. And I've gotten real comfortable saying, I figured it out. I see what God's doing. And then last week, God flipped me on my head, and he said, I ain't even got started. I'm not talking about going to new levels and being popular. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God has turned me upside down and said, yeah, you see what I'm doing, but that's just the start of what I'm doing. And I want you to do things you've never done. And I want you to say things you've never said. And I want to do things in your life that'll blow your mind. Yeah, I'm mad about it. Because I'm enjoying just chilling out. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you did something you ain't never done? Or are you just doing the things that you know to do? If you're ever going to walk through the door that God's opened for you, you're going to have to do things that you ain't never done before. Number two, not only be willing to do what you've never done before, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to be willing to endure what you've never endured before. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. I said, if you're going to be used by God to do something more, you're going to have to endure things that you've never endured before. You'll know the reason a lot of us don't go any further. You want to know the reason a lot of us don't do any more? Because we're not willing to put up with the criticism that we get from others. You see, you're going to have to go through people looking at you and not understanding you. I want you to look at the source of Simon Peter's trouble. These were his peers. These were Jews that had gotten saved. These were people that held him in high esteem. These are people that thought Simon Peter is a great apostle and a great prophet. And then they found out that he's hanging out with the Gentiles and he's doing things that nobody never heard of. All of a sudden, they don't want to talk to him no more. They want to contend with him and they want to criticize him. His peers were his source of trouble. And many of us never will do more than we're doing because we're so tied to the opinion of those that we love. We'll never obey God. We know we'll be criticized if we go beyond what they think we should do. Can I call time out and make a lap real quick and just shoot down the notion? I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about being contemporary. I'm not talking about none of that. But there's things that God will have you do that nobody else in the world will understand, and you won't do it because you're worried about what they'll say. You'll have to be willing to endure what you've never endured before. The source of his trouble were his peers. The scope of his trouble was this. There were people criticizing him that were not on the rooftop with him when he heard God. You trying to explain to them what God told you to do while you was on the rooftop in Joppa, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work. they can't understand it because they were not there when God told you. Here's the question. Are you willing to be criticized by people who don't understand what God told you? Or do you want to be? Or do you want to have Facebook likes? What are you after? What are you after? You after being popular? Or are you after walking through doors that God's opened in your life and taking the criticism of it? I got called to preach. My mama, I got saved in 1996. I got called to preach immediately after Brother McAbee was preaching the night that I surrendered to preach. I told my mama, there was a gentleman, and he had invited me to his church to preach. I'd never preached at a church before. He invited me to preach on a Wednesday night. I told my mama, I said, God's called me to preach, and I'm going over here to preach. She said, God's done what? She just had paid for the lawyer to get me out of jail just several weeks before this. And so it's not making no sense to her. She said, God doesn't do that. I said, well, he just started. I said, because God's called me to preach. And she said, you're going to go over there and make a fool out of you. I mean, she cussed me. She chewed me out up one side and down there. My mama's a Yankee. She's from Delaware, and she's mean as a snake, and she ain't scared of the devil. And she sure ain't scared of me. She said, you're going to go make a fool out of yourself. What's wrong with you? You've lost your mind. You're stupid. I mean, she called me stupid every name in the book. She said, don't you go over there. And if you do, I don't want to hear about it. I said, well, God's called me and I'm going to preach. I was working at a Ford dealership. And that afternoon, it was on a Wednesday. And that afternoon, about 4 o'clock, she pulled around back. Mine was the front stall right beside the service lane. And she pulled up to my stall. She had a Ford Explorer. And she pulled up. She blew the horn. And I looked up and I seen her back there and I started walking towards her car and she wouldn't look at me. She was just looking straight forward with her hands on the steering wheel, tears in her eyes. I walked up, she wouldn't look at me, she wouldn't do anything. She rolled the back window down. And I leaned in, she said, are you still going over there to preach? I said, yes, ma'am. And then she rolled that back window all the way down. She said, well, there's some nice clothes back here, get them out. Don't go and look like a bum if you're going. I opened the door, took him clothes out. She bought, Bud, I ain't never had a coat and tie. She bought me a coat and tie. She bought me a new pair of pants. Bought me some shoes. I ain't never had a suit. She wasn't even saved, I don't think. I don't know if she is now. She says she is. But you're going to have to endure criticism from people that you love the most. Boy, I wish we had about 2 hours. Boy, I could take you by the hand and talk to you about some criticism from people that you love very dearly, people that were very dear in my life, people that were very key in getting me where I am today, are some of the most critical people about the things I do now. Simon Peter started out with them. Simon Peter held hands with them, took sweet counsel in the house of God with them. Now all of a sudden God's doing something with him they ain't doing with them, and now they don't like Simon Peter no more. You willing to put up with criticism? You willing to be misunderstood to obey God? Number three, I'm done. If we're going to walk through the next door that God's got for us, we must be willing to submit like we've never submitted before. Let me show y'all an oxymoron. Chapter 10, verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, these next three words, not so, Lord. What? Listen, I didn't read that right. But Peter said, not so, Lord. We're going to need to be willing to submit like we've never submitted before. How can you call him Lord and tell him no? I'll tell you why, because he's not Lord. He may be Savior, but if you're going to walk through doors that nobody else is going to walk through and you're going to do things you've never done, he's going to have to be Lord. Isn't it strange how Paul's walking down the Damascus Road and he's ready to kill people? God knocks him off his animal. And he looks up and says, what will thou have me to do, Lord? Simon Peter's been walking with him for years. And watch this. It seems that God has dealt with Simon Peter in threes his whole life. He's up on top of that mountain, and he sees the Mount Transfiguration. He hears the voice of God. And Simon Peter said, look, he said, let us build three tabernacles. God says, shut up and listen to Jesus. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. He said, you're going to deny me thrice. And Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. They get over there by that lake, by the ocean, and or by the sea. And Jesus asked him three times, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? He asked him three times. And look what the Bible says right here. He says in verse number 14, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not common. This was done thrice, and a vessel was received up again into heaven. You're going to have to learn, and I'm going to have to learn to submit like I've never submitted before. I'm going to have to hear him and do it immediately. There's sinners that God wants to reach, and we will not reach them until we learn to submit like we've never submitted before. I preach all the time about how wicked the world is and how backward Joe Biden and the whole rest of the crowd is and how messed up the whole new world is. I complain about that all the time. The problem's not with the sinners. The sinner did what he was told the first time the angel spoke to him. It's the preachers that have already been there and done that are hanging out on the rooftop in Joppa is the ones that's arguing with God. Them sinners don't want to listen. That's a lie, that's a lie. Jesus said, lift your eyes up and look in the fields. They're white already unto harvest. There's sinners somewhere behind the door God's waiting on you to walk behind if you'll do something you've never done. If you'll be willing to put up with things you ain't never put up with. If you'll be willing to submit in ways you've never submitted. Problem ain't with the sinner. The problem ain't with God not opening doors. The problem's with us preachers enjoying what God's already done and being desensitized to the Holy Ghost because we've told God no so many times. Let me ask you a question. What has God told you more than once? Why ain't you done it? Y'all stand up with me. Let's find somewhere in this altar and say, God, I want to walk through doors I've never walked through before. I want to submit like I've never submitted. And I want to be able to put up with criticism I've never put up with before. God, would you get me off this rooftop in Joppa? Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how you've used me. But God, I do not want to rest on that for the rest of my life. Let me see the new doors of opportunity that you've put before me in Jesus' name. And teach me to do what I've never done before in Jesus' name. You can call on the Lord. We ain't got to necessarily have no music or anything. What has God told you to do that you've been arguing with him about and you've not done yet? He can't be Lord if we're telling him no. You're not your own. You bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. God has a whole new crowd of people he wants you to reach if you'll be willing to do what you've never done before.